this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Because when preaching, sometimes my face forgets to smile. So if you realize that I'm not smiling for quite a while, just smile at me and I'll try and pick that up and smile back at you. All right. Yeah. So who's watched the London, the opening ceremony on Friday? A lot of people. Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on with the Olympics. I figured it's quite fitting to share something that's in that line. About tonight's sermon being walk, run, stand. Obviously, there's all sorts of sports in the Olympics. I'll bring back to that analogy a little bit later. But it's interesting to see that. I mean, the whole world probably stood still a little bit just for the opening ceremony that happened there. And it's amazing to see how small the world has actually gotten. And yes, we always talk about the end times, and I mean, from the disciples' times, they were saying it's the end times, and we're 2,000 years later, and still the end times. But the world's becoming smaller, and the way that the message can come across all the globe and to all the nations is just becoming just so much more realistic, almost. And it's almost a scary thought at times, because but if it's going to be like that, then we can't control that, and that's actually great because we don't want to control it. But anyway, that along the side. One thing is that you guys need to smile back at me. And then there's another thing. When four of us guys went to Mangweni a couple of weeks ago, just on a scout mission, Willem and Johan and Herman and myself. And there's this one pastor there, which we connected with, Pastor Raymond. And His reaction whenever there's something that's amazing or that captures his attention, he's like, "Yo!" So I'm hoping that there's a couple of "Yos" that's going to come out of out from you. Willem might need at least five from you, because you know how to do that. But it was a blessing going there, and hopefully towards the end of the year we'll. Either towards the end of the year or next year, we're gonna try and visit them again. A couple of weeks back, I said that we're gonna try and send a team in September. However, we're not gonna send a team in September just because September is so packed at the moment with all sorts of things happening. And the conference is at the end of September. I'm gonna touch on that a little bit later again. The conference is at the end of September. I'd encourage you to save your finances and save your leave to go to the conference if you were interested in actually going on the mission. Because it is just, it's amazing to go to the conference. We were there last year, and that for now. Right. What do you guys, I want to just gauge one or two of you. What do you normally do with a Sunday sermon afterwards? That's it, you want? Okay, never mind. No, the reason I ask that is because if I have to go around asking people what was last week's Sunday sermon about, then I'd probably get about maybe towards 50% of people that would know, and then people that would know parts of it. Is there anybody that want to tell me what was last week's? No, I won't put anybody else on the spot. And the reason I'm asking that is because it is what God comes to share with us. The only way that's going to become a part of our lives is we're going to take it back to God and say, "All right, God, what are you busy telling me? What are you?" And that's the only or a big reason why I know what was in last week's sermon is because I'm preaching today, and I need to know what's going on if I want to actually prepare a message that is in season with what God is saying. Also, a lot of the small group facilitators might know what was last week because they had to prepare a small group for last week. But beyond that, a lot of times we sit and wait for us to be spoon-fed. We wait for the small group facilitator to prepare something. And so I just want to encourage you, whenever there's, not only tonight, I mean take this going forward every time. Go back, take notes, or download the sermon from the internet again. Take it back to God and say, all right, Lord, what are you saying? What practical implications is this? Where's Renette? Come up quickly. I've asked Renette to just share something. It's also, I'll share a little bit more and expand on that. It's an email. She shared an email with a couple of people this week, and I've just asked her just to share that, just a sort of revelation that she had.
Hi, guys. Yeah, basically, to summarize, I had a revelation regarding the difference between obeying for God's sake or obeying for my relationship with God's sake. An example, 2 years, was it 2 years already? A year and a half ago, I felt that God was asking me and Annie to start a family. And at that stage, I was, I've already been on a road where God has taught me a lot of things about obedience. So at that stage, I was like, oh, okay, this is like my big moment. God has prepared me for this moment so that I can obey him like straight away. Okay. And I wasn't excited about doing what he asked. I was quite fearful. I'm normally someone who also don't like change. So it was quite a big thing. You know, if God asks you to wear a red T-shirt that day, it's not that difficult. But if he asks you to start a family, it's quite a challenge. So at that moment, I think my motivation for actually obeying God and taking the first step was out of fear. I was really fearful that God was going to curse me because, you know, if I don't obey him. So then this week, I just realized I read a scripture. I forgot to jot down where it was now. But it was basically Paul asking his people to be like-minded with each other. And I looked up the word like-minded, and it said it means being of the same opinion, having the same vision of something. So I realized, oh my word, you know, if we want to be like-minded with God or like-minded with my husband for, you know, for the same sake, because we have to protect our unity, and in the same way you have to protect your unity with God. Being like-minded really means that you must capture and make the opinion that God has, you must take and make it your own as well. So it's really just taking that ownership of what God is telling you and just making it your own vision, your own opinion. So in the end, when you do what God asks you to do, it should be out of a place where I actually want to do it myself as well, for myself. And it must be not, okay, I'm doing it because God asked me to, and like if he says jump, then jump. It really must come out of almost a, you know, out of your own heart. Like, you must know so well why God asked you to do it. And obviously there's a space as well where we obey God just because he is sovereign, and because we do believe that he won't ask something of us that would harm us. We believe that he cares for us as well. But I just think in being busy in my life at this stage with lots of things of God, being a zone coach and being in the band, I just feel that God is really challenging me to take the vision of the church, the vision of God, asking his kingdom to come, his will to be done, really making it part of my own vision and searching God's heart, really searching the word for why it is important and really making that a part of my actions.
Thank you, Renette. What I love about what Renette shared there is that in order for us to come into unity with God or with unity with each other, is to really embrace what God is saying. Now, you can only embrace what God is saying if you understand why he's saying it. So if God is giving you something to be obedient about, okay, maybe it's like an impulsive, you have to be obedient now without understanding it. But sometimes there's something, God brings something and says, "I'll do this, and I want you to start a family," for example, for them. The only way they're going to become a joy to you, well, not the only way, but it's going to be a real joy to you if you understand why God is saying that to you. And that applies to anything. And that applies to a lot of things that I'm going to share tonight. And I'm going to share a lot of things tonight that is not, I'm not sharing that to say you have to do this. You have to do this and this and this and this and this. I'm sharing it because I want you to go back with it and say, "God, why do you want me to do this or not do this?" And it's out of that place where you're actually going to embrace the vision or whatever God is saying. Okay. All right, we read from Acts chapter 1. This is, you've seen this scripture a couple of times of late. And the reason I'm sharing it is not as much to expand on what Heinrich has shared about. It's more actually like I just asked, who of you can remember what was preached for your sake to remind you of what some of the things that have been shared. Okay, Acts 1 from verse 4 to 5 says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" And then verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And I'm gonna preach Heinrich's sermon again. It's on the web for you to download. But I just wanna touch on one or two things. The whole walking, running, standing thing that God has just laid on my heart is to really walk in the promise. Heinrich shared last week about the promise, which is the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit would come, and Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit, he's going to baptize us, and from there forth, go into all the nations. You'll receive power to go into all the nations and be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And to really walk in the Holy Spirit, you need to understand why did Jesus give us the Holy Spirit in order to walk in the Holy Spirit. And it really comes together there in verse 8 where it says, "And go into all of the nations." Thanks, Lauren. Like, Lauren is like smiling like this to me. I'm like, "What are you doing?" Sorry. It's just, in verse 8, it just comes together there that God says to go into all the nations and be his witnesses everywhere. All right. So, having said that, in order for us to walk in the promise, to walk in the promise of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, we need to embrace the heart behind that, and that is to go to all the nations, to go everywhere, to go to the people that do not know Jesus and actually share that with them. Now, for some people, that's like a very big gulping moment of, do I really have to? I thought that it applies to us as a whole, so that I will fulfill my little role here. And that is great, and there's a part of that. But you can only really fulfill your role, whatever that is, if you have a heart for this thing of God's word, God's gospel, to reach the whole world. Okay. All right. With walking in the Spirit, it brings also just the sensitivity to walk in the Holy Spirit. And then one key question that Heinrich especially asked in the end there was how is your first love? And it is so relevant that question of where in Revelations, let me read that scripture to you quickly. It says in Revelations 2 that Jesus writing to a church, say, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And for most of us, we know, but repentance literally just means to turn away. If you walked in this direction, to turn away and change your ways and come to, and it's like you've walked this way, you realize you're wrong. Okay, God, ask your forgiveness. I turn around and I walk away. So it's a place of where I've not walked with, as Jesus is my first love, as my first, my all, my everything, and where we realize that, and we repent, we turn around and we walk the other way. Yeah. For a lot of us, it's a matter of we can't expect like God, like the full blessing, like a maximum blessing from God, or His commitment from God, if we're not willing to give 100% as well. It's very much like marriage. I think somebody shared it last week. It's not a matter of 50-50% kind of commitment. It's 100%, 100%, and that's how Jesus is also with us. It's either He's Lord of all, or he's not at all. He's after our whole hearts. He's not after us just saving us and answering our prayers and helping us in times of need. He's really coming in and wanting he's wanting to be Lord of all of our lives, of where you work, USA or South Africa. What do you do with your spare time? What do you do with your finances? What do you do with your holiday? Is that submitted unto God, or is it like reserved? Okay, God, you're not this. I'm keeping for myself. Another thing is that I realized these last couple of weeks, I haven't been crazy busy really at work. So now you find yourself, okay, now you're reading a little bit of news and you spend a little time on Facebook, and there's all sorts of, I mean, yes, as a Christian, be up to date with what's going on in the world and that sort of thing. As you scroll down in an article, there's always these Facebook posts, like, and these guys are just going at each other. Yeah. And later on, I get home and I feel like depressed, just because of the fact that I've just let all this like negative chaos I've just allowed it into my soul, and that's something that, like, anything that we like, not entertainment, but what are the things that we are letting into our souls? And that applies to us reading scripture. That applies to music. What kind of music we're listening to? What kind of movies are we watching? What kind of even news is fine, but just what are we allowing to shape us? Because the things that we're allowing in is the things that we start molding over. And what does it? Yeah, never mind. There's this one article where. And it's like these atheists and these Christians, they just go at each other. I'm like, there's really no point in you guys gunning each other on the internet, because there's just really no connection there. Anyway, having said that, there's for someone specifically, or not someone, but for a lot of us, we really need to go back and evaluate what is it that what am I watching? What soapies, what series, what movies? What's this, Batman? Dark Knight Rises. That's a difficult one for me, because I'm like, yeah, I want to watch it. But I watched the first one. What was it? Batman. Was it Batman Begins? Yes, Dark Knight. I watched that. And it's an epic movie. But like, after I watched that movie, I was like, yeesh, it feels quite... It feels dark. It's hectic, yeah. It's not surprising Heath Ledger died after that movie. I'm not kidding, whatever. It's really a dark movie. And there's nothing upbuilding about it. And like with the second one, like, I wanna watch it, but I'm responsible for whatever I'm gonna take in. I might actually open a door, not only for me, for Christine and for Elaine. And that triggers something with me. Sometimes you can still handle it if it's just for yourself or whatever. But as soon as it starts affecting other people, then it's a problem. And I want to tell you that even if you're not married, it does affect other people because it's going to affect the way that you influence other people and the people that needs to get God's word, because it hinders, for the lack of a better term, your efficiency, your productivity. Or it's not really the best word to use. But anyway, you understand what I mean. Okay, and then thirdly, is what Heinrich also, how is your love for the lost? And it's a lot that I wanted to share, but I'm gonna cut it slightly short. And you can be glad I forgot my watch at home, but luckily Christine brought it for me, because somebody preaching that without a watch is dangerous. But she brought it. Yeah. And in asking that question about how's your heart for the lost, it's like a couple of us had this discussion. We had like facilitation training on Tuesdays for a while, and I was going to Mangweni. Is like, how do you not have a heart for the lost if you're saved? And Coralie asked that question in the Tuesday training, and she's come to salvation recently. And I asked the question, how do you get a heart for the lost? And her immediate response was, doesn't everybody have a heart for the lost? And the key is right there, is that she's recently come to salvation, and she realizes immediately that this is what I have. There's other people that doesn't have this. And for us walking a long road or walking a road with the Lord for quite a while, start or miss that sometimes, because we forget where we come from. We forget that where we were in terms of darkness and coming into light. We pass from death into life. And that's a key. So ask God to restore for us the joy of our salvation. Because in the light of us realizing how big, how massive that is for us, for me personally, is going to trigger something of, but if I have this and somebody else doesn't know God, then I don't want him to, you get what I'm saying? All right. And what's so precious, they're not here tonight, but like Kieran got saved, I think last year and during the relationship month or week that we had. And subsequently, Genevieve, who was his girlfriend at the time, got saved. Coralie, who's Genevieve's sister, got saved. Whose mother got saved now recently. And it's that sort of thing where we sometimes hinder that automatic flow because of whatever reasons. I'm not saying that if that is not the result when you got saved that there's anything wrong with you, you don't have a heart for the lost. I'm just saying that is as an encouragement. Let me ask you a quick question. Who's hands up? Who's all at Deloitte at the moment? 1, 2, 3. Barry's going there. 5. Who's all at BDO? It's just Jock. Well, I was at BDO. And Sunay still on holiday. She was also at BDO. Standard Bank. I know we had a whole lot of people from Standard Bank at some stage. Well, you're not there anymore. Okay, well, they all left. I can take a couple of companies where there's typically a couple of people in that's from our congregation. Let me ask you, how many people do you need to change your division or your company? Any takers? 2. Why 2? Okay. Okay, how about 1? What about 1? God only needed 1 person to stand in the gap for a whole nation. And we're not talking about a nation, we're talking about a company. So expect a lot of more Deloitte people here in the near future. my point is that the other way that we get a heart for the lost is by praying for them. You get a heart for the things that you pray for. You get a heart for the car that you want because you've been praying for it for the last 5 years. I'm just kidding. But the thing is that if you ask people, if you ask God for people's salvation, then you start getting a heart for them, and then you start getting sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying about those people around you as well. All right. And then the other way that you also just get a heart for the lost is by sharing the gospel. Share what Jesus has actually done in your life. And that's how our missions are just so powerful. Okay, I need to move slightly quicker. Right. And then the last thing, or no, just one other thing that Heinrich shared about is also just unity. And that is what Renette also was sharing now. Is about for us, in order to move in unity, we really need to embrace it. Ephesians 3 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And it's really important that we fight for unity. It's not something that comes automatic. Something that initially it's maybe easier, but it's really something, especially in marriage, especially if you start getting closer when there's conflict. It's important that we really fight for it. I'm going to share a vision a little bit later about what I had on missions, and which is actually just a very powerful one. Okay, Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And two things there is that if you scroll back to verse 1 there, it says there, therefore. And when there's normally a therefore, there's something that precedes that for where he's continuing from. And what was in Hebrews chapter 11? What was in Hebrews chapter 11 was the what's his name? Just now I lost it completely. Faith. Yes, he was talking about a whole lot of people that has gone before: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, the prophets, etc., etc. He's talking about all these people that have done these great things in faith, and then he comes here and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's referring to all of those that have gone before, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So see this picture in front of you. You're running in the Olympics. Let's make it a 400 or 800. We're not really involved in a sprint at the moment. Where the 400 and 800 is more like a three-quarter pace. You have to go all the time, sort of. And you're at the Olympics, and that stadium is packed. And it's packed with people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. And they like cheering us on and saying, woohoo, go my boy. And it says, let us run this race with perseverance that has been marked out before us. And we all have this race to run. And then he says after that there, it's like fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. We're going to start, when we're running this race, we're going to start looking around to how's that guy running? And how's that guy running? You're gonna do this, and at some stage you're gonna derail off the track completely. So let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus in the lane. Otherwise, you're gonna get disqualified and maybe harm some people. All right. So see, just keep that picture in the back of your mind of this running in the stadium, seeing all of that. And the other thing is that there at the end he says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Whenever the race starts getting long and it starts getting tough and it starts getting wet on the track or whatever, then consider what Jesus has done and what he has gone through for us, giving everything, like literally everything, for us, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. It's easy to lose heart when we take our eyes not on Jesus anymore. Then it's easier to lose heart. All right. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 23-27 says, "I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in his blessing." That all of this means the preceding verse just says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. This is Paul speaking. So it's basically in the pursuit of preaching the gospel that he's saying here. Okay. So I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Okay, now, I just want to be practical for the next 5 minutes or so. And what I want to be practical about is just that. I'm going to just skip a couple of things here. Is that, first of all, we're running here for eternal purpose. And what struck me a couple of weeks ago, I got an SMS or something from CS. I think you guys probably have gotten it as well, saying that what you're doing right now, does it have eternal value? Something along those lines. And I was struck by it. I'm like, what? And I'm busy at the moment going through a process of just gauging with God. What is God saying to me about work? Is where I'm working at the moment, is there any eternal value for me working at this place? Because if there's not, then what am I doing here? If I'm not here to impact other people's lives around me, or if this is not a stepping stone to somewhere else, like my articles and my qualification for CA was, that was a big stepping stone, but other people's lives hopefully was also impact. No, there was. Then what is the bigger picture? And that's a question that I'm constantly asking God at the moment. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? If people's lives aren't getting impacted, then I'm reassessing. Like it doesn't. Another thing that was very interesting, and I was visiting a small group in Sunning Hill, and it was Trish facilitated. Where's Trish? Yeah. And one thing that she said there was that. No, it wasn't what she said. Sorry, Trish. There was something else that struck me then. It was at Vorna Valley Small Group where, like you would have noticed, a lot of ladies with a lot of bumps around here. And what struck me at that small group that night was that is something eternal right there. We always think very spiritual when we come about eternal things. And it just struck me that, like with Elaine being born and that sort of thing, it struck me that that is something that wasn't there, and since she got conceived, that's going to be an eternal being. And it struck me, it was like something that wasn't there, now it's there, now it's going to exist forever, and I have a role to play in her eternal destiny, etc., etc. And that, yeah, that was. It was sort of overwhelmed. That was like a huge moment. But anyway, okay. The thing where I want to get practical is what are the next step of your race? Yeah, we're all on the track. We're all on slightly different career paths and friendship circles and families. But what is your next step of obedience? What is your next step in your race? And I want to touch on that. What Paul is writing there about. I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air, but I beat my body almost like into submission. And the things that I want to hold in front of you, things to go back and to go and consider. And, oh, by the way, we're not having a small group celebration this week. So that means that if you're facilitating this week, now's the time to take notes. Okay. We would have had small group celebration this week, but we're not going to anymore because we're having the fast and everything. So, sorry about that. I forgot to mention that in the beginning. But especially for the zone coaches, this next part is something that I want you guys to go and take back to your zones and to start implementing this and start asking these questions. Yeah. And these are the things that I just want to hold before us all in terms of this race that we're running. And we don't have to get all sorts of weird about things. There's a whole lot of basics, and there's a whole lot of core ministries that we have that does amazing things. And that's the sort of question that you need to ask, go back and ask, why are we having those programs? Why are we doing this and why are we doing that? Because if you understand that, then it's a lot easier for you to embrace the vision behind it and the heart behind it. Okay, here we go. The Spiritual Growth Series. You'll see they have mapped them out for you. If you write quickly, you can get them all. If you can't write quickly, Google Calendar, Shofar Johannesburg. Go on to shofar.org, shofaronline.org, and go and click on the Google Calendar, and you'll go to Joburg, go to Google Calendar, you see all of that. All right, we would have had Perspective this coming Sunday, but because of the fast, we're just moving that one out one. If you were thinking of doing it this week, okay, we're moving it out 1 week. So it's the 12th of August. I'm not going to go into detail about everything. Alex shared a little bit about some of them. This is not only to do it. Yeah, this is also to facilitate it that I'm holding before you. A lot of us have received a lot. A lot of us have walked a long road with the Lord. We've done these things maybe 5 years ago, and we haven't facilitated it once. And you wonder, what now? I want to encourage you. Go and ask God and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to get involved? It is amazing. I want to tell you, Legacy and Liberty is powerful to facilitate. Personally, I love Perspective and Share the most. Why? Because it's the essence of the gospel. It's about, that's where people get saved, that's where people get spiritful, that's where they get convicted to get baptized. And then Share is then equipping people to share their own testimonies and share the same thing that has happened to them. So that's just a personal. We had a privilege of doing community as well, Harki and I in Rwanda. And that just blew my mind again, because community is sort of one that you go to and then you don't, it's not that intense, but it was so insightful. Anyway, consider it. Next one is the corporate fast and intercession. Now, for that one specifically, you should not be asking, should I do this or should I not? Or let me rephrase that. You shouldn't be asking God, should I get involved? You should ask God, should I not do this full out? What should I tone back down on? It's because, like I shared, is that we've been around for 20 years, and it's just such a powerful tool of stirring a unity amongst us as a congregation, but also us as a congregation with the rest of our Shofar family, and to just gauge with what God is saying. That's also why we've been praying at the gates, we've been praying and interceding at different parts in Johannesburg, just to hear what the Holy Spirit is leading us into. All right, so that's one thing. Bible school, starting Bible school, that the announcements is up there. You can get it at the info desk again. Bible school is amazing. Christine, my wife, is a forerunner in terms of promoting Bible school, of the way that it changed her life. And it is typically that thing of, do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way that you're going to get your mind renewed is the word. Thank you. Yo. Thank you. Yeah, the only way that you're going to get your mind transformed is if you're going to get into the word and understand what the word is saying. Okay? A lot of times we read the word, we do not understand it. Bible school enables you to understand what is the word is saying. Okay, so consider that seriously if you haven't done it. If you've done 1, 2, and 3, then consider teaching some modules. I'm running maybe a little bit ahead, but email Heinrich or someone. Yeah. Not me. Yeah. Then the conference. I mentioned the conference earlier. That's the 27th to the 30th of September. Now, I know Kieran and Genevieve's wedding is on the 29th, but that's right. So they can be excused. For the rest of us, if you're invited to the wedding, then the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we fly back and we come back for the wedding. Okay, at the moment, if you don't have money to go, stand in faith and ask God for money to go. Okay, ask God to go. It's really going to be amazing. Who of you knows Jeremy Riddle? Okay. Jeremy Riddle is from, you if you know that love, that song Furious Love, a little bit more, maybe. Okay. Go and Google Jeremy Riddle and go and listen to one or two of his songs. Amazing. All right, he's coming, amongst others. Dr. Courtney Backer, he's an amazing teacher. He's like, I still remember what he did, shared last year, just because of the way that he shares it. It's like, thin places. And then he goes on. He just echoes everything that he says. It's just amazing. And some other people, Joe Niemann, I think, is also going to be there. But make it a priority if you can at all. It's going to take 2 days of leave or maybe a day and a half. And it's going to be a flight back down to Cape Town and flight back. If you want to try and pull together in terms of accommodation, then we can try and do that. All right. So try and make that a priority or go take it to God. Say, okay, God. Missions. I was speaking about November, December, maybe Mangweni, November, December, maybe coast to coast backup team. I don't know. Maybe another coast team. I don't know. Maybe go support Durban team. Ugh, church that just planted. Consider. Just pray about it. However, I just want to mention something there is that you cannot go on missions if you haven't done all the spiritual growth series. So it's a little bit of a catch 22 there. If you feel led to go on missions, then you need to do the other ones. Okay. Then the last one that I just want to touch on is Sunday services and small groups. And obviously the Sunday services one is not necessarily as applicable to you guys because you're sitting here. But for some of us, we come and go and we waltz in and we waltz out every now and then. And I want to encourage you to make a commitment in terms of your own growth to commit to church services. If you're going away for a weekend, or let me rather put this, if you're going away every weekend and you're missing church because of that, then try and make arrangements to be back before church service starts. Okay. Right, sorry, I was on a different pluck there already. Okay. The reason I'm saying that is not because we want to keep tabs on you or whatever. The reason is for your own growth. And if you can commit to that, then it's gonna bot yo darbe. Oh, sorry, I wanted to say acid. It's just not gonna come out completely wrong. All right, last scripture. Then we can move on. Ephesians 6 verse 10-13. And then we can move on. Okay. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And then verse 18, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Okay, just first of all there that Erki, you guys can come up so long. We're in an intense spiritual battle. Okay? And that's why I've also shared about the media. That's why I've shared about Batman. I've just been confronted so much this last couple of weeks just again with the spiritual reality of just the darkness that is around us as well. And if you haven't encountered it yet, then stick around. I'm sure you will at some stage. But the thing is that for me personally, every time that I come to a season or I come to a place where God wants to release me into something, then it's almost as if the spiritual atmosphere around me is just creating all sorts of havoc. To try and where it aims for me is between, and it's in my relationship with me and Christine. This is the number one place where he aims. So if we can bring the vision there, it breaks you down as a man and makes you ineffective to do anything really. I can do a lot of things, but I can do very little if Christine and I aren't really on the same page. And most of the men would be able to amen that, and the wives as well. You don't feel like doing anything because you don't, yeah. So that is something. Okay, just the armor of God. There's a place. I'm not going to go through them all, but there's the last one, I think. No, not the last one. One of them, like the shoes or the readiness to spread the gospel. In order to stand, you need to have that on. In order to run, in order to walk in the Spirit, in order to run the race, you need to have that on. Otherwise, you're going nowhere. You can't even run away for that matter. All right. So, obviously, all the rest is also important, but I just wanted to emphasize that. And the last thing I wanted to say there is to pray in the Spirit. When we go on missions, that's the one thing I always tell the guys is continually pray in the Spirit wherever we go. Because it makes you sensitive to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And the biggest reason why we hear the Holy Spirit so little a lot of times at work or wherever we go is because we do not incline our ears to hear. And when we pray in the Spirit, we consciously make an effort to just pray in the Spirit, and we automatically incline our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. How can they? They're gonna minister just one song to us. And wherever you are in terms of what we've been sharing about, whether it's in returning to your first love, whether everything that I've been saying now is you're at a place where you realize, I've actually never actually stepped onto this track. I've stood in the crowds and I've seen a lot of people run, but I've personally have never actually started running this race. Or you've started running in the wrong direction on that track, meaning you've forsaken your first love. You've taken your eyes off of Jesus in this race. Wherever you are in terms of that, wherever all the other things that I've shared, wherever you are, just bring that back to God. And I really believe that God is just wanting to bring just an anointing through the song that they're gonna minister to just bring a release of whatever God is saying to us. Hallelujah. Let's just stand together. Tonight we've been talking about. Tonight we've just been talking about, first of all, just walking in the promise of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about running the race with perseverance, and we've been talking about standing, having done everything to stand. And all of us are at different places, and that's great, and that's how God has designed it. But everything pivots around Jesus, around the cross of Jesus Christ, and the fact that He is alive, and that we can walk in a relationship with Him. As everybody's eyes are just closed, wherever you are, if we walk out of here tonight, and I haven't given an opportunity for someone just to make right with what Jesus is saying, then we're missing it in a big way. Because if I'm saying that everything we do, everything that we are pivots around Jesus, and we don't stand still for a moment just to say, all right, but let's make sure that we connect with Jesus. Let's restore that first love with Jesus. Okay, so as everybody's eyes are closed, I just want to ask that if you do not If you've been a spectator, if you've been looking on and you haven't run the race, either you haven't run the race at all or you've looked away and you've stopped running, I just want to ask you to just to put up your hand quickly. It's not for me, it's not for anything. Thanks, I see that hand. It's just an indication to God, just to say that, you know what? I know a lot about you, but I actually don't know you. If there's anybody else, just slip up your hand quickly and you can lower it again. And there's just another for the people that have lost your first love. You're doing all sorts of things. You're doing all sorts of great things for God. You see it when people are missing God. You like the church in Revelations, they cannot stand when people are doing unrighteous things. But like Jesus was telling the church that there's one thing I have against you is that you have forsaken your first love. And he's saying, return to me, repent, and do the things that you did at first. And those things that you did at first is merely just coming to the cross of Jesus Christ. If that applies to you, I just want to ask you, just put up your hand quickly and you can lower it again. I mean, I'm going to ask you just to be bold. I want to pray with you guys, especially the first group. I want you guys just to be bold and come forward. In the second group, just to my right, and the others to the left. It's not to name and shame, and it's nothing. That whole thing is about passing from darkness into light. It's a place of where the gunshot goes, and it's a place of now I'm starting to run. And in a way, we want to cheer you on. We want to run this race with you. And therefore, I want to ask you to be bold. Just step out and come forward. We're going to pray, and somebody's going to pray with you. It's not going to be any hectic. So just come quickly. Don't delay. I know it feels a little bit hectic, but just come and be bold. Just give them a hand. I ask the facilitators just to come to the front as well. Okay. I just want us all just to pray together. And just want us to pray together. Okay, just pray after me. So Father God, I just come to you. Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that I'm in need of a Savior. I realize that salvation can only be found at the foot, at the cross of Jesus Christ and in your resurrection. I thank you, Jesus, that you have died for me. Thank you, Jesus. I can invite you into my life tonight. I choose tonight to step out onto the track, to fix my eyes on you, and to run this race with perseverance. Thank you, Jesus, that you have washed me clean, as white as snow. In Jesus' name, I thank you that I never have to doubt about your love for me. And if I have to die right now, I can go to heaven with you. Lord, I open up my heart for you to use me in whichever way. In Jesus' name. For you on the right, I just want to also just pray after me. Everybody can pray with me. Father, we come to you. And I realize, Lord, that I've allowed things to come in the way of my relationship with you. I've allowed things that are not beneficial for our relationship to come in the way. And tonight, I turn away from that and I choose to follow wholeheartedly after you. I pray that you will restore a joy of my salvation and that I just cannot contain the life that is bubbling inside of me. In Jesus' name, I look unto you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just those who are in this attitude, the one last thing, and that is, we're talking about walking in the promise. We're talking about walking in the promise of the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus is saying there is that he told his disciples, do not leave from here and before you haven't received the Holy Spirit. The reason, if the disciples needed the Holy Spirit, then we need the Holy Spirit as well. And it's not the same event. Salvation and baptism in the Holy Spirit is not the same event. It can happen simultaneously, but it's normally not. It wasn't for me. Thing is, salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Before we come to salvation, the Holy Spirit says, Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. The moment we come to Jesus, Jesus is saying, here's the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He's going to empower you. If there's anybody that hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet, it's nothing spooky or anything. In Acts, all the guys did is they laid hands on the guys and they prayed for them. And it's basically just praying a prayer of asking Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So if there's anybody like that, I want you to just come to the front, to my left, and we're going to pray with you. If there's anybody like that, just come out and we would love to pray with you. It's nothing spooky. It's life changing for real. Come. All right. Okay. We're gonna stick around here in the front for a little bit, but I'm gonna dismiss the service. Thank you. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, God, and that you are mighty to save, Lord. And Lord, we confess that we are nothing without you, God, and we can do nothing of eternal value without you, God. Thank you that we can go from here, God, and we can walk in the promise, God. We can walk in the promise of the Holy Spirit in order to reach, Lord God, the nations, God. Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Yeah, Johannesburg, Gauteng, South Africa, Lord, and to the ends of the earth. We pray that you will use us, God. You say to one of the prophets, who can I send? And we just want to say, Lord, here I am, send me. In Jesus' name, we just pray your blessing over the people, God, your protection. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us. Thank you that we can walk in the promise and we can run this race, Lord, and we can, after having done everything, God, and after having stood against the schemes of the enemy, God, that we can stand. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys in the front, there's somebody with you. Is just going to pray with you quickly.